Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, his name is Chin Lim. He is 26 years old and is the most talented person in America. You see, this young man stunned the nation with his magical performances on America's Got Talent this season. Howie Mandel, one of the judges, called him, quote, the most amazing close-up magician I've ever seen. Chin does the incredible, like pulling cards out of thin air, making cards turn to smoke, and even, as he showed in his performance on the finale, making a card change right before your eyes. From his initial audition to his performance in the finale, Chin continually made the audience think, how did he do that? At one point, Simon Cowell, who's known for his harsh reviews, said, for anyone who doesn't believe in magic, hello. Last Wednesday night, Chin beat out 9 other contenders to earn $1 million and star in his own show in Vegas. So according to America's Got Talent, he is the most talented person in America. And whether you follow America's Got Talent or not, the show is a great example of how we are a competitive country. Think about all of the reality shows that are based on competition and elimination. Right? Any of the talent shows, Big Brother, Survivor, that sort of thing. Or think about our obsession with sports, where there's always a winner and a loser. Think about climbing the corporate ladder, where there are the ones at the top and the ones at the bottom. Our country seems to be built on the idea that some people are worth keeping around and everyone else can be eliminated. In the August 30th issue of the New York Times, there was a story about Roberts Middle School in Cuyahoga Falls, up by Akron. The 8th grade students had been given an exercise on diversity. The premise was that they had to select 8 out of 12 diverse people to save on a spaceship because the Earth would be destroyed tomorrow. The assignment said, on your own, take 5 minutes and rank the order of the passengers from 1 to 12. Based on those who you think are most deserving to take the trip, with 1 being the most deserving and 12 being the least deserving. Then the students had to come together as a group and unanimously decide who to take. Some of the passengers who were available were an accountant with a substance abuse problem, a militant African-American medical student, a famous novelist with a physical disability, a 21-year-old female Muslim international student, a Hispanic clergyman who's against homosexuality, and a racist armed police officer who's been accused of excessive violence. The school project completely backfired. Parents, the superintendent, and the city council were shocked that it was even given as an assignment. Although the exercise came from the Center for Diversity and Inclusion from the University of Houston, the teacher who gave the assignment gave no context, no background, and no follow-up for it. So basically, instead of an exercise in embracing diversity, it became an exercise in who is the most important and who can die when the world blows up. Now, I don't imagine you've ever had to do an assignment like that in school. But there have probably been times that you've looked around and thought, oh, the world would be so much better if this group wasn't here. Or maybe it's something more simple. Like you're at the store and you see a kid acting up. And you think, oh, I'd never let my kid behave like that. Thinking that you're a better parent than the kid's parent. Or maybe you hear how someone treats their spouse and you think, oh, I would never do that. Right? Whatever it is. We all have this sinful tendency to think we're better than the people around us. But that's not how followers of Jesus are supposed to behave. Even so, the original disciples acted this way too. Consider what happens in the gospel reading today. Jesus is leading them as they travel to Capernaum, and the disciples are arguing. And I can imagine it's sort of like the parent driving the minivan down the road with the kids arguing in the back seat. Once they got to Capernaum, Jesus stopped the van, turned around and asked, "So, what were you all arguing about back there?" Even though, of course, he knew fully aware of what was going on. None of them spoke up. No one wanted to admit it. But they were arguing about who was the greatest. Following Jesus, though, is not about competition or promoting ourselves. It's not about being better than our neighbor or being the most important disciple. It's about, as Jesus said, being last and servant of all. And so to illustrate that, Jesus brought a little child in their midst. And he said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now for us, kids are cute and to be taken care of. Good parents love their children, and good communities love the kids in their midst. But in Jesus' day, children were nobodies. In fact, the word translated child here is not the typical Greek word for child. It's really the word that means powerless one. Children were powerless because, quite frankly, they didn't live very long. Right? In that day, they didn't have good medicine or good hygiene like we do. So children were lucky if they made it to adulthood. And so that means that practically, it was best not to get too emotionally attached to kids. Because they just might not be around very long. Because of that, they were treated as nobodies. They were the ones who could be eliminated. They were powerless. But Jesus told his disciples, "Whoever welcomes the powerless ones in my name welcomes me." The disciples were so focused on who among them was the greatest, but Jesus was calling them to focus on who was the lowest. In our country that prides itself on competition and ranking people, in our nation that has big TV shows about who gets eliminated, in a culture of survival of the most important, we've recently seen an example of how all of that gets washed away. Hurricane Florence just ripped through North and South Carolina, causing $17 to $22 billion in property damage and killing at least 13 people. so many different people were affected by this terrible hurricane. It crossed all socioeconomic lines. It affected people like an accountant with a substance abuse problem, a militant African-American medical student, a famous novelist with a physical disability, and so on and so on. And yet, here's the good news. The church is responding. Those who follow Jesus are responding. For example, Lutheran Disaster Response is actively reaching out to all of those affected by the storm. Pastor Michael Stady, the program director for LDR US, spoke to me over the phone this past week and told me that their primary goal is to reach out to those who are most vulnerable, those who are powerless, senior citizens, people who are disabled, and those in generational poverty, meaning those who have no family support. And there's even an insert in your bulletin today about how you can support LDR in this effort. Also, the Churches of Christ Disaster Response Team, located in Vandalia, is helping out too. WDTN ran a story about this group on September 14th. And Laura Cremens, the group leader, said that they work on rebuilding people's property, especially those who don't have insurance. This is how followers of Jesus behave. When there are powerless ones in our world, whether that means without electrical power or without influential power, the church responds. The church is not about competition. The church is about compassion. It's about following Jesus and taking care of those who are ignored. Sometimes that means helping with disaster response, and sometimes it just means putting your own ego away to think of somebody else. Like the original disciples, we aren't always faithful, and we don't always get it. But Jesus still calls us to follow. He still calls us to welcome. He still calls us to love. Our job is not to make ourselves known. Our job is to make Jesus known. Right? Chin Lim may be a bright star for now. But next summer, America's Got Talent will have its 14th season, and somebody else will be crowned a winner. Somebody else will be seen as the most talented person in America. But there is one who is always the winner. One who is always the best. One who is always deserving of our praise. Jesus. Who is the greatest? He is. And there's no argument about that. So in the name of the one who is the greatest and whom we follow and serve, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.